Let's do this. Falling asleep.
Okay, I've got 1:34. We'll reconvene this regular meeting in open session, noting that all members of the court are present. And again, we're picking up with item number 6 on the agenda, which is consider adopting a budget for FY 2026. Obviously, a lot of discussions and comments to be considered. I'd welcome any comments, input, or potential actions that the court might wish to take.
I would say we need to go through the budget again, line item by line item.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
My question would be that anybody that was here through the whole process 2 weeks ago to the end knows that you made a huge cut to the budget already. Could you please tell the people how much was cut from the budget up to this point so that they know that you're not just sitting here, you know, not doing anything about it? The second question that I have real quickly is, I feel like you were really not concerned about what you're paying.
Yes.
Don't feel like the Commissioner's Court was quite as transparent as you were. So I wonder why their salaries were not disclosed at the same time that yours was.
I will let them address that. I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, but I think one of the concerns is revolving around a salary increase. That again was a state decision. So the commissioners are fully funded by the taxpayers. So I will allow them to, I don't want to put words in their mouth on, you know, their compensation.
It was put out in the newspaper, but it's the salary is $50,591.52. We get a vehicle allowance because we do use our vehicles instead of a county vehicle of $4,000 each. And then the Social Security, the health insurance, and retirement, you know, is what it is. We get $250 for office supplies. The four of us get a combination of $2,000 for our travel and training to the Bryan College Station. Although they're saying that they'll do the training, we're required to get 16 hours. They're saying that they believe they're going to have one in Waco next year. So that would be reduced. We wouldn't have to stay in a hotel, drive back and forth. And then we have bonds that we're required to have for the county, and it's budgeted at about $312.
So I know that you all he disclosed the required hours that you work for what you make.
Do what, ma'am?
The required hours that you work.
Any elected official is not, they don't have a set of hours necessarily.
Do you have a record of the amount of hours that you all work? And I know this time of year is different because you're doing all this. But in a normal month where you're not doing a budget, what is your normal hours per week that you work on?
I can't say what it is, to be honest with you. I mean, I get phone calls 24/7.
Sure, but that's phone calls, though. Yes,
but when the phone call comes in, I have to go do something. You don't just answer the phone and say, hello, okay, you got
sure.
a tree
I
down?
I know that all of you.
Because I don't call Road and Bridge. If there's a tree down, I go out and look at it.
Sure.
If there's a problem and if I can do something about it, I do. If it's something too large, then yes, I do call them, but I mean, I don't know the hours, I don't keep up with them. I've asked for a time clock system for the entire county for a long time.
Well, it's just curious because I mean, what your salary and your benefits is way more than my husband and I make together in retirement.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I'm just curious how many hours you've been in to actually earn.
Besides phone calls, what else?
Well, I'm responsible for Precinct 1, which is the largest precinct in the county. I think there's 200, or excuse me, about 310 miles of road in my precinct. the last 2 years, my precinct has gotten hit probably the worst with the storms and such. I know my precinct is cut off from the rest of the county at least 3 times. But I get calls from the prison system, from the director of the prison system, how to get their employees here during those times. I mean, there's multiple things. We communicate with the sheriff's office. We communicate with the county clerk, the district clerk. I mean, there's lots of things. The courts in general.
This will be a question for all four commissioners. I know that all of you have other jobs versus just being a commissioner. On your time spent for another job versus this, how much on that? Is it 50-50? Is it 20-80? What is it?
I have no other job.
Okay.
I'm retired, and I took this job in order to give back. So no, I do not have another job. And one other, oh, go ahead. I was just one other example that you'll see later on today. This was an RFP that we put out for. In fact, we have a couple of visitors today, and I'm sure they're enjoying this. An RFP for a managed IT. So there's 11 different proposals in here that are extraordinarily detailed. And so part of our job is to go through all 11 of these, compare them, and then make a decision, you know, based upon that. That happens in multiple court sessions. So it would be very, very hard to say, to delineate and go, oh, yeah, this is what we do. But there's a lot of stuff like this that the court's responsible to take care of. This is a very big one right here.
Ryan.
I do not have like this summer job. I'm over maintenance, and y'all are welcome to ride with me anytime.
I know what you do.
I've got 20 old buildings, y'all.
You're my commissioner. I know what you do.
Thank you. Be glad that. I would probably say 70 here and 30 on my other job.
Okay.
Maybe a little
I'm retired.
For this.
Do you have your businesses?
Sure, I have my business. I have several businesses.
So, percentages?
I don't know. I work all the time. I don't know. I don't keep up with it. I sleep about 4 to 6 hours a day. And the rest of the time, I'm working. I mean, you're asked. So,
yeah.
Anyway, but I'm ready to get back to the budget if that answers your question on the salaries.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Okay. Picking up on page 2. County Judge.
The first thing that I'm going to do for you guys is I'm going to tell you what the increase is over last year's budget. I've been trying to take some advice. but in this, remember that a part of the major increase in this budget is for health insurance increase and then step raises. Step raises for something that this court enacted a while back because we were having a hard time every year doing COLA increases. So we put all the employees on step raises. And there is a big chunk, and don't ask me because I don't know what the exact figure is. But in each department, as they hit those milestones, that's added on. So any cuts would be a part of those raises. So when you see a department that's maybe at a plus, could be that they had step raises this year. And that's, in fact, in case part of the judges, our court administrator got a step raise this year. So the judge is at 8.12% increase year over year. Ms. Rudy, you and I have given some information, and I am taking your advice. And we did. We went through this. There was a handful of people left over for the second day, and we went line item by line item, and we gut and cut. And as they say, now we're getting down, to the meat.
What was the total cut from the past week?
Approximately. Yeah. I think.
Approximately was about 1.5 million.
That's not.
That and again, it goes back to and where I derived that figure is on the proposed budget that we were considering. It had a tax rate associated with it of 50.5 cents. And we're at that, you know, about 466,000 is a penny on the tax rate. The amended proposed budget came out with right at 47.52. So just the very simple math of it is that's about 3 cents. 3 times 500,000 is 1.5 million. That's what was cut from the previous.
I know that you've already made the.
And I think one other statistic, and again, I'm, you know, this is a, and I think somebody said he's a stalemate. You know, we're in that tough position. We're not, I'm not trying to defend. I'm not trying to, you know, do anything. But this budget year over year, I have it here, is an increase of expenses 5.1% in our expenses from last year to this year. Our total is 5.1%, which is $1,213,131.19, which includes additional bodies, which includes health insurance increase, which includes step raise increases, which include workman's comp and all those other things that just have
you. Step raises for people making how much already?
Most of them are clerks. Most of them are clerks.
No.
The elected officials and department heads are not a part of that step raise. So it's for all the
clerical, road bridge, and jail law enforcement side. It continues, Wendell. So we said it 1 year, you get a bump once you've been here a year, and then it goes to 3 years. It's like longevity or hazardous duty that you would have received out there at your last job. It progresses over time.
And Road and Bridge has a unique one too, and also I believe the sheriff's office, as they also meet milestones in their education and responsibility. In other words, if a Road and Bridge guy gets trained up and is now able to move from a dump truck to a road grader, that's a worker three level. So they will get a little bump in that too. So, you know, and I guess somebody said earlier, I mean, we're down to that point where it's talking about not cutting elected officials. By the way, the commissioners did not get a raise this year. You know, cutting into some of those will be the next, you know, levels. Those will be the very hard conversations.
Before we implemented a step program, a fixed raise scheduled for our clerks, Road and Bridge. The Sheriff's Department already had something, I think, a little bit in those lines. And one of my frustrations was that some elected officials would come in and ask for raises for their departments, and some would not. And I watched several commissioners' courts then battle with a percentage to try to address everybody. I thought it was prudent that if we could address, you know, smaller segments and be a little bit more meaningful, because those that were on the lower wage scale of salaries at that point, when you get a percentage of very little, then you get very little as a raise. And most of our step raises on the clerical side of things are in the $1,000 to $1,500 range for 1, 3, 5, 7, 10, 15, 20. I think that's as far as we go out right now. But I think there's a 25 in there. But it's to give them a little bit of predictability so that year over year they're not going, am I getting a raise? Am I not getting a raise? They know based off their longevity with the county, that they can see what they will make this year, next year, 3 years, 5 years down the road without us having to put a percentage number, because obviously those that are making a little bit more percentage is going to be more beneficial to them. So yes, I will stand by that. Those need to be programmed in. That's what we have committed to our employees, and I feel it's important to uphold that.
What's the percentage, or what do y'all pay on, like, health insurance? You mentioned health insurance going up and everything. What is, like, an employee and their family, what are they covered in the area of current plan percentage was?
Employee is fully covered, 100%. And that premium is, I believe, $888 a month, right there, $888, $890. Yeah. And with the spouse, children, family, we pay 50% of those premiums. And I don't remember those numbers off the top of my head. I mean,
that's really good.
Yeah.
That's a really good benefit.
And I think the judge mentioned earlier that is part of our retention. And if you talk to any one of our employees.
And the only reason I asked that was several years back when I was in a committee. I can't remember who I talked with. I asked them then, you know, because it was always about salaries, how the salaries were not equitable, the salaries compared to Bell County, compared to other counties, whatever. I brought it up at that point, like, have y'all ever looked at bumping the salary, but reducing, you know, took the salary plus the benefit of having 100% insurance. And at that point, I believe it was 75% for the employee's family. If you took that benefit along with the salary, they're probably making just as much or the same as the Bell County. But somebody said, well, that's not a bottom line. They look at the bottom line on the amount that they're bringing home. Well, reduce the benefit and give them more to bring home. If that's what they're looking at, and let them choose whether they want the insurance or not. You know, that, I mean, there's, anyway, just a thought.
Over the past 6 years, we've made two reductions in our contribution to the employees. Like you said, back in the 2019 timeframe, we were paying 75%. I think we reduced it a year or two later. We reduced that to 60 or 65. And then I think 2 years ago, might have been last year. One of the two, and here recently, we reduced it down to 50%. Okay, so we're about 17 minutes into this, and we still haven't got past the county judge. Are you okay with where the county judge is right now? Okay. Commissioner's Court.
These office supplies, I don't know that I've ever used any office supplies, but that's not much.
Office supplies is $250 a year for four offices. We expensed, couldn't even tell you what it was. It could be something that, you know, maybe we got charged off on a portion of some of our folders or something like that. We were expensed $132.25 in office supplies for the four commissioners' offices. Is that our portion of the projector?
I think that's all.
Might have been.
Could have been something else. That's something. No, Frank required on that because I wasn't picking up the help.
Oh, sorry again.
Just sort of getting shot, because I know everybody liked this process to move along. If I could just make a suggestion, then if we quickly go through, like, you know, the county judges went up 8.12%. The commissioner's court budget last year versus this year went up 0.5%, so half a percent. The county clerk went down 0.4%. So, I mean, we could go line item by line item and maybe, but, you know, we've done that. So the only areas, you know, are the ones that had larger increases. And we kind of talked about that. One is the sheriff's office, but I heard resoundingly, I think, don't want to cut expenses out of our law enforcement. In fact, we had a very long discussion about a new software program, you know, for the sheriff's department that will hopefully, right, we've done our due diligence and they have to streamline their processes, make them more productive and be able to do better reporting. But when you're talking about, you know, a budget of $292,000 and an increase of 0.5%, you know, any cut that we get out of that, I just don't, you know, I get it. It's death by a thousand cuts, but we've been through this once, and I mean, I'll be glad to do it. But I just think we're going to, unfortunately, hear a lot.
I'm good. Okay.
Well, I mean, trying to honor, you know, Commissioner Matthews' wishes of going through it, you know, so we can make it, you know. All right, so we're good with commissioners' court. Is that correct?
Yes.
No, Commissioner Matthews, you said take out the office supplies. I mean, I think there needs to be something in there. $100?
Yes. I mean, we got to do something. I mean, and the only way we can do it is go line item by line item.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Can I say something on that?
Yes, so, ma'am.
No, you'll like this, Kyle. Okay. So, I just like everybody else, I'm a taxpayer. Even with my home, you walk across the floor and you're in a pile of floors. But that's not y'all's fault. I am okay with this with the tax rate, just because, I mean, it's, you know, maybe $1,500 extra a year. The sheriff has cut his budget so he can try to help with be able to get the extra that he needs. You know, Justin's done what he needs to so he can be able to try to help. Everybody is doing their part. Y'all are going trying to go line by line. You're trying to help. You're trying to do what you need to. We are all sitting here while you're watching you and you go line by line. We see this. Okay. What we are asking from you is learn from these mistakes. Do what needs to be done. Don't come wait till last minute next time. We see this. That's all we're asking. That's all we're asking. The damage has been done. We know that there's going to be a tax rate. We know it's going to go up. The inflation is ridiculous. We all see it. And it's okay. But at the same time, learn from your mistakes. We can't do this next year. It can't happen. We can't afford it again. But nothing else can, I mean, I've looked at it. I know Blair's looked at it. There's not much more that can be cut. Like you said, not unless you affect the sheriff's department, not unless you affect road and bridge. Those two things can't be touched. But in the end, it's not going to, I mean, $50, $100 extra a year for myself, for my taxes, I can afford that. If I can afford that when I'm barely making ends meet and I can barely feed my family, then everybody else can too. Told you, but mind it, Kyle.
I heard the people. I
know.
All the time. You know,
I know.
I've sat down with 25 people over this budget.
But in the end.
And some of them, you know, Mr. Smith up until 11:50 at night on a Sunday up front. And that was Miss Bernard and I don't know the other lady's name back here. I mean, I have no problem doing this. It's a process.
But in the end, there's nothing left to cut.
Oh, there's
things to cut, but it should be
there's odds and ends, I promise you. It's just when you cut those odds and ends, you have no wiggle room. I'm going to use some example like, you know, the maintenance department, okay? You never know when the 1893 courthouse is going
to. Yeah, Lord, they're not going to have to cut on that.
Yeah, the elevator, the roof, you know, it's a mess. So you got to have a little bit of wiggle room in there because this roof, what was it, 289,000. Yeah. And they peel it off. Well, everybody in this building's got to go work elsewhere somewhere.
Well, in the elevator at the courthouse is big time to get.
That's what I was mentioning earlier. So yeah, there's wiggle room, very little in this budget. But I heard what everybody said this morning. The only way you can do it is you've got to go through it line item by line item. And those little numbers add up to big numbers.
And that's what we said. We want y'all to listen to us.
I always do. And we're going through them right now. I mean, 500 on the miscellaneous. Can you lose that, Judge, on your disaster money? You got 10,000 emergency management.
We need that. I will vote for that one. I live in a flood area. A massive flood area. What if we have something that happens in Kerrville, out in Mound? Mound is gone. Mound will be no more.
Okay.
I worked the 2007 flood and I worked FEMA. Mound will not be anymore.
Gotcha. Ms. Newton, can you do away with $500 miscellaneous?
Sorry, y'all.
$500 miscellaneous out of the county clerk. I think we can take $5,000 out of the litigation money under non-departmental. Wait a minute. I made my notes wrong. Hang on. Oh, miscellaneous. Sorry. 5,000 out of miscellaneous on departmental.
Taking it down to zero?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I do want to back up because there was a comment earlier about, and I don't know how it got, but about postal expenses under emergency management. Postal expenses are not under emergency management. And there is $125,000 programmed for that. We're projected, and that covers all of our county departments. We just group it together. And we're on a run rate of $102,000 is what we spend just on postage in a year. So I just wanted to be, and there are some of those that there are statutory requirements about how we send things out, whether it's certified mail, return receipt. I mean, there are those requirements. It's not an option. I didn't want you to think that we're charging postage to emergency management was the whole piece of that.
$5,000 in non-departmental. I say 500 in county court at law, 500 miscellaneous.
By the way, the non-departmental went up 6.4%. Remember, our average was, 5.1? County court at law went up 29.3%. What were you proposing?
500 miscellaneous.
Take it out?
No, I would.
You know how I feel about miscellaneous.
So is it, just so we can be clear, is it the proposal is going to be pretty much to eliminate miscellaneous from all of them?
Pretty much.
Okay.
But I went down to the office supplies too and looked at what their projections are. And when the district court, 52nd, you can $1,000 miscellaneous and about $1,500 on office supplies. I mean, their run rates to hit 1,941, but they've only used 1,455. I mean, that's all these add up.
What number are you on? I'm sorry.
We're probably on a different one, but I'm on the 52nd district court. We're probably on a
different numbers here.
Oh. The side numbers, outer numbers. I got you. 0495. 204-95-0495. Sorry, I thought you Doug.
Skipped up. Juvenile court, 0% increase from this year to last year. 52nd is a 8.3% increase from last year to this year.
But the interpreters, you know, they spent nothing out of it.
It's one where if they have to have an interpreter, you got to have an interpreter. I mean,
yeah, I understand.
The minute we take it out,
it is. Because I
Matthew, what did, I'm sorry. So you said on the office supplies, take that down to what?
15. I'd go to CPS court miscellaneous, 500. Take it out.
CPS court increase was 0.0% year over year.
$440,000 miscellaneous.
440th was a 13% increase year over year.
I'd take 500 off your office supplies and 1,000 out of miscellaneous.
Okay, can we? Because I'm trying to make some notes out here. You said please go all the way back to CPS court.
CPS, 500 miscellaneous.
Okay. Well, 440th, you were proposing
1,000 out of miscellaneous.
Okay.
Indigent, 500 out of office supplies and 1,000 out of miscellaneous.
Indigent defense went up 15.8%. Portion of that is the murder trials that we have.
I really think that contingency can go back to 80, so I think you could drop off another 20. That's my opinion, but I don't run the training up to support that. That's it.
You said office supplies to 1,000?
500 on the office supplies and 1,000 on miscellaneous.
Oops. 500.
His miscellaneous kind of up in the middle, not the end, like
most. Yeah, exactly.
Are you reducing office supplies by 500 or to 500?
I thought he said reduce it by 500.
Yeah.
So it would be at 1,000.
Yeah, that is correct.
You grew out miscellaneous and what else out of contingencies?
I think it can drop down to 80. But again, I mean, I'm basing it off of what we've been told about the upcoming hearings. But I mean, Mr. Amet said 100 from what it was, 150.
It's 180.
Yeah, it's 180, and we took it down to 100. And it's one of those where
it's an insurance claim.
If they need it and we don't have it, we put ourselves in a bind. Mm-hmm. Let's run through this so that we can kind of see what this all.
Okay, I'll put a question mark. On the court bailiffs, I would lower their vehicle repair to 2,000. I understand, but if we're not going to fund the fuel, they're not be driving it home, then shouldn't have much wear and tear. And then, of course, 500 miscellaneous.
Court bailiffs lose up, and these are all before we've made these changes. They were at a 0.5% increase. Year over year.
I'm just not trying to split hairs, but I'm saying if we're putting them at 2,000, there's I don't know what repair they could do. I mean, they get tires. About all they can do.
Yeah.
Can we put a question mark by that one? And I'm not going to, I would just ask them, put a question mark by that one for right now.
District clerk, be 500 miscellaneous, they put out.
District clerk's budget went down 0.7%.
On all the JPs, I'd cut 500 out of office supplies and 500 miscellaneous.
Well,
I would say so.
Well, we had programmed increases in their travel.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to go back to 1,000 on their travel?
Right. 1,000 on their travel.
What'd you say on office supplies?
I said take 500. That's how to eat.
Transparency JP Precinct 2 is an increase of 30.4%. We had a part-time person down there we're making full-time.
I didn't have anything on the county attorneys. He's added somebody since last year, so on an investigator, so it's going to fuel, obviously, we know.
And catch up.
His travel is nothing. He got every bond. And his maintenance and repairs, like the bond. But he's got two new cars, or newer, excuse me. District attorney, the only thing I can see
county,
here is
county attorneys went up 5.5%. So it was almost right in line with the budget increase.
On the DA's, all I can see is really the travel, but that's, his travel encompasses a lot of other things, not like
training.
Yeah. Well, they may have to bring in a witness and all that. I don't know.
District attorney had. We'd had it down to 1.1% prior to this.
On a run rate of 5,000, but, budgeted 11, I don't want to. Good question mark, I guess. Auditor's office, I got 500 on office supplies and 500 on miscellaneous out. I don't know. Same on the treasurer on the miscellaneous.
Treasurer
doing all that. What happened to the leftover?
It rolls into the next budget next year. It's what you start with. It just rolls into the reserve. It's what they call the reserve. Courthouse, miscellaneous.
By the way, the treasurer was 1.6%. Increase year over year.
What do you say about
the courthouse?
Sir? What do you say about the courthouse?
I'd say take 500 out of miscellaneous.
Oh, county tax assessor collector?
Did the steeple bring
in?
Yes,
sorry.
County tax assessor collector is a minus 4.4% year over year.
So much of his is tied to the state, too, but I don't know what we can say. Can we lose $1,000 of office equipment? I don't know.
Yeah, it's got office miscellaneous.
All right. Make 1,000 off his office equipment.
Courthouse and annexes maintenance.
I just said 500 on the
They're at a 4.8% increase year over year for courthouse and annex maintenance. I'm sorry, what'd you say, Kyle?
I just said 500 on the miscellaneous. Really, there's everything else is right on line.
And so you're aware on the courthouse maintenance piece of this, when we say that there's, you know, the 4.8% increase, that primarily is due to utilities.
Yeah.
The increased cost of utilities. I want to be very clear that he has not gone above and beyond on, you know, his maintenance expenses. That is attributed to utilities. All right. Jail?
Jail, I said 5,000 on the jail supplies, and then the prisoner board is that big sticky one. You never know what's going to happen with the crime rate. We had it at, 2.4?
2.7 when I had here.
Yeah.
What's that?
We had it 2.4 and it's out 2.1.
Yeah.
It started 2.4. At 2.7.
Our proposed 2.7. 2.1. I don't know.
By the way, the jail is minus 4.4% year over year.
The run rate is 1.8, but, you know, we got 100. The numbers this morning didn't look right on Monday. I don't know. I sent you your message.
Yeah, it's really low.
Yeah, very low. 133. It's 30 below. So something didn't add up.
But it's good.
Normally it's 168, 175.
I don't remember seeing Coryell County in that.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Anyway, the only other thing would be really the prisoner board and the miscellaneous.
So I spent yesterday afternoon in Austin in legislative update, and a lot of the new laws they covered were in regards to bail reform and release on pretrial. Bonds,
yeah,
personal cognizance bonds, and who's authorized to give them and how they were to be administered, and the new cases that were not eligible for personal cognizance bonds anymore. There's also a new procedure for denying bonds to certain persons who have previous felony history, for lack of a better term, and there's a bunch of matrix, obviously. It's legislators, not lawyers, most of them. And so it's some of it convoluted and conflicts, but it's going to be interesting. But long story short, there's going to be a reduction in the number of persons who are qualified for PR bonds initially upon magistration and subsequently upon review by pretrial services, and even some by the corporate jurisdiction of the case.
So the jail numbers will probably go up.
They're not going to go down. That's the longest shot.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Don't expect.
Kyle, we went through this last year. I think we need to leave it like.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, well. I'm throwing it out there.
Kind of. But we've cut this thing so much now that it, if we do get in a bind, there's nowhere to make it up in the budget.
Yeah.
Or his budget. Sheriff.
I'd cut all the miscellaneous for the four constables. I don't know. I don't like miscellaneous in the way. But it's used in some places, but I would gut it.
Sheriff, we've got an item later on in the agenda. Mr. Clinton had talked to me briefly about it. Is there any savings to be had on the food for inmates?
Good question. Bobby had done a pretty good deal of entering back and forth between the two food companies.
Yeah.
Instead of giving us, end of the year stuff, give us, breaks now. We can revisit this.
Okay, because we're
38,000. Excuse me, 384,000.
And we got 400,000 programmed in there.
Last year we had programmed in 317,000. But we have spent 288 with a run rate of 384.
Let's put a question mark.
Yeah. Two, are y'all figuring in the extra 47 beds?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's we only had about 7 months of that.
I mean, I will say this, produce and stuff is going down, and, egg, milk, bread is on its way back down. So that's a lot of, what kills us on food prices. So it's volatile. It's
huge. I wonder if beef prices are going to go down, Bastion.
if you'll reach out to him and see what his
we budgeted last year for basically $6,100 a week on average, and that's because that's where we were. Of course, with the prices changing, it went to $7,100. So trying to balance some of that out as well. I don't foresee it changing from the 71 throughout this entire next year. Prices are going down some, but other prices are going up. Your beef and turkey and chicken and stuff like that's going up. So they're playing a balance game on the money. What eggs go down 10 cents, beef goes up 30. So.
And so the citizens know that, we're not setting up a bunch of detainees in the jail, but there are requirements that are put on us by the state that we have to feed a certain calorie and balanced diet. We have to have a dietitian on staff, because if not, then we're subject to taxpayer money going out for fines.
And we're with our new provider, Benny Keith. We have a 3-week menu, the 2,000 calorie day menu, that is strictly adhered to. That plan has to be submitted and approved by the state. And basically, it tells you they get 6 ounces of green beans. We have a 6 ounce label. That's all they get. So food portionings are, unless they're someone who gets special trays, we do have those diabetics and people who can't eat, all kinds of different things. So they get a lot of sandwiches.
But we can absolutely try to work with this together.
See what this number sounds like to you. Okay, if we're at $7,100 a week for 52 weeks, puts us at $370. Knowing that we're going to have some, dietary issues in there to kind of give you a little bit of a buffer if we went to $385.
Yeah, I think that's within the numbers.
15K.
I don't remember the exact number that I submitted, but I think it was pretty close to that.
Yeah, it's 400. Yeah.
So I think that's pretty accurate.
You can work
that. Not a whole lot of wiggle room, but
no. Yeah, I mean. Yeah. So you're comfortable with 385 on that? Down 15?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. Okay.
How many inmates do we have housed at a time that we're feeding?
On average, it's at 130. We can house 139 maximum.
That's a lot. That's a lot more than I thought.
Yeah. Well, that's just here.
That's just here.
I'm running
40 to 45.
Yeah, I was asking for here.
Yeah.
For the food side.
Yeah.
Okay. I got you.
Okay.
I said 500 on all the constables.
And the constables, I said the jail was at minus 4.4% before the reductions. Constables were already at minus 3.5 for one, minus 4.4 for two, minus 7.1 for three. And minus 7.1 for four. That's where they were, where we had already cut.
And I don't want to skew things. So you understand where those reductions came in is we purchased body cams, all new body cams for the constables. So last year was a one-time, but not one. I mean, it'll happen at some other point. But the reason you're seeing all of those reductions in those is attributed to that cost for the body cam for last year and not carrying over to this year.
Yes.
You know, I know
that's what theirs was, but they haven't done anything. So.
Well, they're going to have to, right?
Right. Yeah, I know. We can't really touch that training portion. That's that alert that everybody's required to give. We already touched on the sheriff's miscellaneous.
I've got a question. What under what's software maintenance?
What line
that is on? A very high cost. What is it and who does it?
You're on 453?
I'm on 0453.
Yeah, that there's two different systems in place there. One that they're currently using, it's a mapping program. And then information, and then the second one is what we talked about to get the computers in their core. As some of you may know, some of you may not know, you know, if you watch cops or whatever, you see them, I'm going to go back, run you on my computer. They don't have computers in their car. So, you know, or there's a little handful of them on some of our experimental programs. But you got to be able to know where they're at. There's several places in the county that you can't communicate, and so it's kind of aiding in that. It will aid in, but this is, it's a lot of that's a one-time cost too of getting it set up. Now there's a maintenance cost of it afterwards.
Subscription renewal, how's that?
Right.
What you're trying to say though is more of a service. This is a maintenance. So
yeah.
What's the difference? Well, I understand what you're saying about the communications. It's a service to keep contact on, but this—that's not a service. That says
we just don't have a line item for that.
Software maintenance,
right. Subscription, subscription renewals. If you have anybody who has Office 365, you know every year, right? You have to pay the thing. Once you've installed it, you still have to pay every year for
to maintain. I think he just classified it saying the word doesn't
fit. Right. The word doesn't fit.
But we don't have a service, you know. I mean, I guess we could change the name on it, but that's what it is. It's software and equipment that goes in the core.
And it's over $10,000 a month?
No, that's initial.
$137,000 a year.
The initial setup for everything. The equipment,
okay. Well, that's what I'm trying to find out.
And then
it don't say purchase or repair or nothing. It just says maintenance. When I think of maintenance, I think of changing the oil in my car, not buying a car.
It's purchase. It's putting the computers and everything.
So it's just mislabeled here. It's not. More than just maintenance.
Yeah.
The one-time cost.
There's some maintenance.
They're subscription.
Yeah, there's maintenance. After that, you got to keep up. Everything goes to the cloud now. So you had to pay for storage and information. So, yes, there's but I don't remember, it's 27,000 every year to keep the service operating. I went down to the county agent, said $500 on office supplies and $500 on equipment.
If I can back up, Sheriff, do you know when you'll be transitioning to E-Force?
We've got place it under the Senate bill.
No, it's in the budget.
It's going to hit for the first
Them in as far as different startups or anything. And I
October.
No, we've got all that programmed in there. The whole setup of it. So what I'm looking at is the system you have right now. We shouldn't have to carry it the entire year.
Yeah. Not EDOP.
No, we don't have a contract with EDOP. I think what he's talking about is once we get this one going, what is the transition period and to our cutoff date on EDOP? Because we'll be less funded on the other end of that.
Yeah, because right now what we've got programmed in here is eForce for the entire year as well as EDOP for the entire year. Is there a portion of that that we could reduce on the EDOC side? I mean, I don't want you to cut you short because
after integration, so it's going to take them some time to integrate all this information.
Yeah, it has to migrate all the data over from EDOC to eFort.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know how fast they work, but I mean, it could take from 2 months to 3 months.
All right.
It'll save just 15 minutes, Mr. Smith, for saying it earlier. I'm playing with him. He's an IT man. So.
Yeah, Judge, I'm not sure how long that's going to take, but I can update you once we once they get going, they see everything. They say, hey, man, 3 months.
And they're going to have to develop some sort of bridge to bridge them and all that.
Yeah. All right. We'll just carry it for the year. I mean,
okay. 500 on the office supplies and 500 off on the equipment. So I think they already got that equipment if they were needs.
Yeah, I thought we'd already done that one.
Mm-hmm. Adult probation. I don't know why we have 2,500 in the miscellaneous. That's not one of the percentage funds that we have to put a percentage in or anything.
I think in the past that was a contingency for him to be able to carry salaries with some state cuts.
Right.
He came in and we talked about that. And he said, he could reduce it down to 2,500. Take your pick. I mean, if we don't put something in there and the state has some budget cuts, he has to let people go. I mean, there's no fallback to it. And if that's the case, that's the case. But I'm just saying that was why that was programmed in there.
Yeah, and they're already at a minus 30.1% of last year's budget.
Yeah.
Cut out of that earlier.
I moved all the way down to the other support services. I said reduce litigation again by 25. We've already reduced it from 150,000. But it's, again, it's one of those insurance claims. But that's my thought on that.
This is certainly where the county attorney has a...
Mm-hmm. No.
What is historical data told us that... And I know it's tough when you're talking about lawsuits.
It's sort of an unsecretable thing.
Yeah, it just depends, like I said before. But it's over $10,000 deductible on our insurance policy with the Texas Association of Counties. So if we get sued, first $10,000 comes out of our pocket for defense.
So we'd have to have it. We get five lawsuits twice, right now.
Twice, it's $40,000.
Yeah.
If we get sued for something that's not covered by TAC, then it's in state court. I generally represent us. So it's in federal court. We generally retain counsel. We've had to do that a long time. That's a few times. It's been in state court or TAC covered.
Sports services, I don't know. Litigation, I guess.
This category is up 11.07%. As I told you, our tax appraisal district went from 372 through 12 to 481,526. The only other thing that we have in there that I'd like, just be transparent. It's spelled out in our budgets. I don't know if it's in yours. We do have programmed in $121,643 for, we'll call it contributions or donations. And those are broken up with MHMR, Historical Commission, Museum, Senior Centers, Child Welfare Board, the HCD, which is the HOP, transportation system, mainly utilized by our elderly community, and $20,000 for hazardous waste. So those are, you know, whether it's right or wrong, you know, the court makes some, you know, some determinations of what's worth supporting in the community donations. And you can see most of it's revolved around senior centers, child welfare, and trying to clean the environment up.
When we have settled litigation?
I'm for leaving it. I'm just.
I'll put a question mark next to it.
And that brings us total expenditures. What 5.1% increase year over year, prior to any of these.
I didn't see anything on the road and bridge. I mean, there's some 500 here and maybe 250 there, but they've already fed a lot. And we might need to use a copier supply for oil or something this year.
Road and bridge, after our first round of cuts, well, actually probably about our sixth round of cuts, year over year, they're at minus 6.8%.
That's a ridiculous round there, but then to a road bridge.
Yep. I'm with you. You gonna keep talent?
Nah, I started to go to the bus.
Not a home, I got it. I was not good.
I got a question about what you were just saying, Scott. What was that stuff you were talking about? Contributions.
Oh.
You said it was like 121, but just in layman's terms, these are just non-compulsory, just donations were.
Correct. Yeah.
Not necessarily. Okay. And maybe we need to look at breaking that out a little bit more specifically, but out of contributions, we pay into the Hill Country Transit District. There's 50,000 of that. It goes to the Hill Country Transit District. That is public transportation in the rural area. It's HOP. That's HOP.
Yeah. And they renamed it now.
But the HCT, Hill Country Transit District, is the name of the organization. HOP is what you see on the side of the buses it's going around. And so we supplement that, and then ridership fees are the other portions. So that is part of it.
And that SITCOG or who runs the HOP or whatever it's called now?
The Hill Country Transit District. That is the organization that runs the HOP.
So other than that, you just mentioned some other stuff, and it just sounds like good ideas. But for other things, you know, because that my love does, we love to help people, and we'll do it quite often. But if we're having budget problems, there are certain things that may have to get cut, and I'm just, you know, nothing against anything you mentioned. We either have money or we don't. And we've been, you know, clipping 500 here, miscellaneous that I don't know the terms either, but that's us.
Yeah.
So we've got the contributions going out, we don't have the money. that was a pretty big number. So if it was 121,000 minus 50, is that still 60 or 70? Yeah, no big deal.
Yes, Hill Country is the largest for sure.
It is.
If you have to pay, if I have to pay it, then what's left? You just want to figure out 121,000.
We don't have to pay it, but we choose to pay it to offer that service, because then if we don't, they would say we're not servicing Coryell County.
Yeah.
And we were surprised, or at least I know Commissioner Matthews and I questioned this a couple of cycles ago, and they came in and gave us a presentation on their ridership, and it surprised me how many folks use that to go, to the hospital, go to HEB, and they use it here locally, and into Temple to go to the VA is the other big, transportation.
Mr. Rudy, you had a question.
Sam Rudy, precinct. Except for the HOP, the others that I heard, the community at large, church fellowships and all, pitch in and support the rest of the list, I think. That the community itself at large, church organizations and all of that, the others you might want to put on, not top, but the others you may want to put under fine-tuning and allow the community at large to take the burden of supporting those. Just my perspective of the other ones that I just heard in the list. Because the community at large is asking us to sharpen our pencils.
I know we just got a big check to the Child Welfare Board, but I don't know what their finances are. But
another
nonprofit,
right? Another nonprofit. Yeah. Yeah.
The Crime Victims Unit of the District Attorney's Office is not
big
donation.
Yeah. Yeah, and when I say like the historical commission, it's a $2,000, to help them pay for some folders and stuff, I guess. So most of them are pretty small, and the museum is $2,000, I think. That's a pretty good bargain.
Did I hear you right on the back to this HOP deal, the proposed budget you're working on now is staying at last year's contribution or going to the proposed 121 for next year? I didn't hear which y'all decided on or worked on.
Right now, I don't believe we've proposed any cuts to that line. And the difference from last year to this year is that Gatesville is proposing to have a household hazardous waste collection day. And they can't say that county residents don't get to participate in that. They have the facilities and resources to be able to do one of those, and we really do not. So to help defer some of their costs and allow our county residents to be able to participate in that, we are willing to make a contribution to them to run that event.
Okay, so we are talking about the same thing. 0498?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, sir.
Okay, are y'all saying for 26, you want to do the 121,643 or stay at the 101,643? Which are y'all saying?
121.
The 121.
You're going to raise that.
Yes. And the only difference between the 2 years is last year, neither Coppers Cove nor Gatesville had a household hazardous waste. So we did not budget to help defer some of their costs. This year, Gatesville is planning one of those. If they don't execute it, we don't contribute. But if they do execute that, then we contribute to help defer their costs because they're collecting for the entire county.
Thank you for explaining.
Yeah.
No. I just didn't understand.
You're welcome. And I'm probably not talking loud enough.
Well, I'm hard of hearing.
That's okay.
Also.
So, don't mind going back to the county agents for just a second. Mr. Ferguson's busy today offering programs and services as they do on a regular basis. But they
feel like supplies is something that they run short on all the time because of all the things that they, the, you know, the things they put on, the stuff that they put together that, that they put out for with the kids and for adults, the classes and seminars and, of course, all the stuff they do for the kids. But he does think that they can cut that fuel budget. The fuel maintenance and rental that y'all had, I believe, previously cut to 2,500. If y'all are going to cut that budget by $500 more dollars, he would rather it come out of that line item instead of the supplies, whatever y'all said.
Okay, good. Thank you.
And 0496, have y'all talked about it?
Under which
economic development under other supported services. I noticed that in the budget last year they had 5,000, but up until now haven't used any, but proposed for next year to spend 5,000.
No, sir.
They have an earlier version. It's zero.
Yeah, it's zero.
Okay.
It's zero.
So that for 2026 you're saying zero, right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. I think that puts us all the way into, I'd go all the way to Fund 70. It's going to be page 23, thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of looking over all of them. I know we beat these up pretty hard.
I'd had some conversations with Commissioner Basham, and so I'll tell y'all kind of some of the thoughts that are going through my head on this. Is our courthouse master plan should be finished up within the next 90 to 120 days, and if that is approved, and I think at some point it will be approved. We would be eligible to apply for emergency funding for the dome as well as the elevator. And the programmed funds that we have in there for the dome would cover the matching funds for that larger level of grant.
I thought they put the historical courthouse stuff on. I think the legislature put it on hold. I'll look it back up, but I think they did. I mean, I don't know about the emergency side, but.
That would be news to me because I got an email from about 3-4 weeks ago saying that it was fully funded.
Okay.
So now that doesn't mean that the legislature didn't put it on a hold. It means that they're funded. And so with that, if something were to happen to the elevator, that is a critical piece of the courthouse, and we could have an emergency expenditure to be able to fund that repair. If we're going to do remodel and renovation of the old tax office area, that would not be qualifying for an emergency expenditure. So rather than to overprogram, the only one that I can see out of that line is if we have a better idea of were there any costs for the air handlers that are going to get expensed in 2025 as opposed to 2026. Commissioner Basham, you have any insight on that?
Two of them are already up on the roof, right?
Yes, there's two of them. They'll be finished Thursday with the first two air handlers, and then we'll start the third one Monday. I've got to get with the sheriff, Bobby, and Mr. Mock to see which one of those we're going to start next, to see if it's going to affect moving any of the inmates.
Okay.
And I'll have to answer that hopefully tomorrow.
All right. With those two being done within your current budget, the 25 budget, do you have funds to cover those costs or just those two?
In my regular maintenance budget?
Yes.
I think it's going to be tight. Yeah. I think it's going to be about, it's going to be tight. But I know for sure one of them, maybe I'm going to say one and a half. Talking about
total of five, right? It's 330,000. Right, but there's five there, and there's nine.
Right.
There's nine there.
And then the original one from 1991.
Okay, do you think those two are going to come in the $30,000 range? The two that we've just did?
I'm going to say it's going to be close to 40,000, right?
Okay, so that
I'll split 35.
You think we can remove 35 from capital improvement?
Yes.
Yeah, because okay. They restored it.
Okay.
Ma'am? The air handlers, 330,000. I'll get back to you on that.
Are they rooftop?
No, they're inside the building. Okay. Everything's out. I've had three bids on the blower that's about to go out, and every one of them's been from 280 to 295,000. The blowers that are the original blowers from 1991.
Are there levels bidding?
No. And have anybody left bidding? Probably both. I mean, yes.
I would rebid that and have all of them go with
that. That's time. Okay.
I mean, that's not going to.
But I would suggest three votes. I would suggest.
So, yes.
Your recommendation was minus 35,000 out of
I just took 30 out, left it at 300. I mean,
okay.
30.
Did that increase our trip for outro?
Well, it's hold on that for right now. Because it may be worth it just to give us a little bit better of a starting position for next year. But I'll let you school me.
Judge, I can sit here and talk. Maybe see if I have a
I think the question would be, what's going to be complete? How much are they going to invoice us, and how much can we pay prior to the end of this year? Is that what we're
35.
Okay.
And I'll click here that we've got to do everything to him.
Okay. Going through these others, I don't.
What about the office furniture and equipment under capital improvement?
Well, we've had that in there for a couple of years because we've taken office equipment and furniture out of all the others. So if somebody breaks a chair, then they have to stand up. I mean, well, I tried.
Can we use that to buy the computer data and see
if worst came to worst.
If I may, I know that Mr. Budd talked about some of these computers. And,
well, we've got.
I'm not going to worry about that anymore, though. Or,
I don't know. I'd rather give my computer to somebody. I don't like them thing anyway. But I guess. But I don't know what to see.
They're. All right, so at the end of the day, I mean we've made a few minor cuts, which
a lot of work,
which makes no measurable change in the tax rate.
Some big cuts we got. There's several other situations we just put them off. That's true.
Yeah, probably there's some of that good timing.
It is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like, you know, maybe they were open for 12 months. Maybe they've only been open for a month.
Yeah.
You know, people leave. That's.
I mean, cut this about everywhere we can cut it.
Yep.
And that's about all we got left.
Yeah. Why the wheel's spinning? We have you guys here for ask you. I heard one of the things I heard loud and clear is, you know, transparency. And we're that's certainly something that I think we have to work on. The other one was communication, which is something that we've always, you know, struggled with. How do we communicate to the masses? You know, certainly our only way is, you know, through our website, but we know people very rarely go and look at a website. How would you guys like us to communicate with you? Yeah.
That's some of the people's houses. I never see mine. And I asked him about it. He doesn't care. So start coming to our houses. We'll tell you.
Okay. How do we mass communicate?
Okay, I'll work on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. For one, yeah, you can't have a commissioner's meeting except for, you know, during the day. So try getting out, have a town hall meeting here on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Try having barbecue at the parks on the weekend where families can be able to be there. Try showing your face for in interacting with our families. Showing your interest with our families and with the community. Not just ex-purpose or the chivalry or things like that. I mean, actually show that you want to be a part of our community and not just during election time. Not just in your precinct. You're a part of this community, not just in your area. I mean, you are a part of Coryell County. Coryell County as a whole. We want to know who you are. You are taking care of our county. You're voting as a whole. So we want to know you. Just because I'm in Precinct 3, I want to know who Scott Whittle is. I want to know who Kyle Matthews is. I mean, I know who Kyle is because I've lived here my entire life. But you're not from here. I don't know who you are actually as a person. So do something as on a weekend when people can actually see this. And do things spectacular. I mean.
So I've even thought about, you know, like putting on a town hall, you know, meeting. How do we communicate that?
Well, even as a town hall, I mean, town halls are hard because even town halls, you can't have, people aren't going to show up as town hall, the town hall. I'm sorry, they're not. And so when you organize a town hall, it would be okay. You're going to have people like today that are going to show up. They're going to ask questions and it's going to get heated. It's going to get heated bad. And y'all are going to get a lot of grief. And you're going to hear a lot of things that you don't want to hear. And so you might want to do one of those, but just be prepared. You're going to have, you know, like Keith has been there for 4 years. You know, you've been there for a while. You're going to have that long of time that you have that much anger from people. So just be prepared with the town hall. When it comes to like a community event, you're actually going to be able to interact with individuals one-on-one and not be rushed. You know, you're going to be able to spend time with them. Get to know them as an individual basis. For instance, out of the five of you up there, I'm going to stand up. The five of you up there, two of you know who I am. You know my background. You know where I stand. You know what I've done. The rest of you don't have a clue. You don't know my personal value. And that's sad. Because the other three of you have passed judgment against me. That's pretty sad. And so everybody else in this room can almost guarantee that you've done the same thing for nearly half of them. And so maybe think about that. If you want help with organizing things, I've done it for over 20 years. Reach out to me. I would love to help you. Love to. If it means I'm going to help do something for my community and put that knowledge into my community, I'm offering my assistance. That is something I would love to help you with.
I didn't mean to open a can of worms, but trust me, it's been one of my frustration points.
Scott, I am willing to help you.
Okay. Yeah, because I put a thing out there that said we need to do a fundraiser for the courthouse. Because to your point, I think people want to give
thousands of dollars to the county.
People want to give to things like that, but somebody has to organize it.
There you go.
And sometimes organization, you know, and that costs money to put all the flyers and stuff.
Okay, I've tried to give you know broad latitude. We're really not quite back on the budget piece of things. So at this point, I think there's two courses of action that the court can take. One, there can be a motion to table items 6, 7, and 8 until later in the meeting. Allow Mr. Wood to make those adjustments to the amended proposed budget to come back and revisit it. Or we recess to make those adjustments, and then pick up with 6, 7, and 8 when we reconvene. I'm comfortable with either one. I think one maybe maximizes our time a little bit better than the other, but I'm comfortable with either one of those courses of action, or I welcome your suggestions to any alternate courses of action.
I make a motion we table items 6, 7, and 8 until later in the meeting and continue on with our normal court business.
Second.
We've got a motion to table 6, 7, and 8 from Commissioner Weddle, second from Commissioner Basham, and that is just until further in the meeting. Mr. Wood, are you comfortable making the adjustments as the court has talked?
I think I captured all your adjustments, sir.
Okay.
I would suggest that you.
We will review before we take action.
Yes.
Definitely. Okay. So we've got a motion and a second on the floor. Any other discussion concerning the grouping of 6, 7, and 8 and the actions to be taken? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have the motion carries. We will pick up with item number 9, which is to consider setting a fee of $10 to fund the County Clerk's Records Archive Fund. I know there's some questions about the Records Archive Fund. And so I will address those as best I can, and then I will certainly let the archive guru have an opportunity to address the members of the public as well. When we talk about the Records Archive, there's been a tremendous effort, and I'm gonna butcher the word. It is what's the word? It is the co-file when they do the books. But there's a word, isn't there a word for those? Miss Simpson, you should call. Anyway, we have huge logs of books that are the county's history. It's not just deed records that is part of it. Commissioner's court records going back to the 1800s when they were handwritten. Those are the things that this fund is used for, is to preserve the history. Because it is fee-based, it is those individuals that are using the county clerk's office for some type of records that's added on there. I know that there were some questions about, you know, why are we charging this? Well, let the courthouse basement flood one time, and then every one of you can line up to chew Roger Miller's rear end about why did we not preserve those records? And part of the contract that Ms. Newton has been operating under is as they laminate or whatever they're doing and putting these in the book form, they're also scanning those documents in. And she has made tremendous strides in making local documents available online. I don't know that all of the land records are available online, but I know that there's at least a portion of them. Is that correct?
What do you search for? I'd like to look at some.
I'm sorry, what?
County clerk. We're back. County clerk's website.
County
clerk's website. Gotcha.
So it is, you know, it's how do we preserve the history of Coryell County, the written words and the documents of Coryell County, without being a direct taxpayer-funded issue? This is what the state allows us to do.
I make a motion to set the fee at $10.
Second.
We got a motion from Commissioner Matthews to set a $10 fee for the County Clerk's Records Archive Fund. A second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 9? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 10 is our consent agenda, noting that there are three items there. We'll go through those, but you can choose to approve the consent agenda as presented, or you may choose to select any or all of those to be discussed individually. Got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 10? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 11 is the road and bridge report. Mr. Latham, are you still here? Are you with us?
We completed our drainage project from Federal 135. Fired the ship sinking machines back up. We still went from open jersey 318 over the last 2 weeks. 318 will be rehabbed. Other than that, we've been focusing on this mother brush setting. Like we have been, we've been down the for a while now. Finally got it back in the middle, we went down, so. Really all I have is.
Okay, very good. Any questions from the court for Mr. Latham?
I have none.
Mr. Latham, thank you. Appreciate that. Item number 12 on the agenda is to consider setting the county holidays for calendar year 2026. A copy of proposed dates went out into your packet. It is very closely mirrors this year's calendar of holidays to include the flex holidays of Texas Independence Day and Juneteenth, which employees would have an option based off their supervisor to take one or the other, but not both.
I make a motion to approve the 2026 county holiday schedule for your county.
Second.
We've got a motion to approve from Commissioner Matthews. We in stereo, we got it from, we'll go with Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 12? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 13 is to consider designating a day of the week on which the court shall convene in a regular term each month during the fiscal year that's in accordance with local government code section 81.005. We currently meet on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month.
Might as well keep it same second and fourth Tuesday of the month.
Second.
Motion from Commissioner Taylor to set the regular term of the court as the second and fourth Tuesday of the month. Second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number 13? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 14 is to consider resolution authorizing county funds to support the home delivered meal program. That is in accordance with Texas Department of Agriculture requirement. To have home-delivered meal service. Our portion of that grant is based off of the 2020 census of those that are above the age of 65 in Coryell County. Our current contribution amount is $2,643, and that covers us for the calendar year or the year beginning 1 February through 31 January of 2027.
Make a motion to approve the home delivered meal grant program resolution authorizing the county grant program for 2026.
Second.
We got a motion to approve the resolution from Commissioner Matthews, a second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number 14? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Items number 15 and 16, I would ask that we consider those together. I did not correctly interpret the email communications, and so I apologize for that. I would ask that Mr. McClinton give us a quick update on items 15 and 16. I believe we need to approve 16 before we can do 15 is really what it amounts to.
That's correct, Judge. Judge, members of the court. This goes back to our commissary issues with the jail. And moving forward with what we did with the commissary to make more money to kind of subsidize some of the budget and do things that inmates program. So this company is the same company that we did our commissary contract crew, and now we are trying to contract with him to get our phone service. Our current phone service ends October 25th, so I have to have somebody in place prior to that without doing an RFP. So we don't have to do an RFP, of course, Mr. Belt, due to the fact that we are already currently in a contract with this corporation. So the only thing that we would have to do is do an amended, we would have to approve the contract with them and do an amended contract for the current contract, which basically all it does is change the date that expirations. I think it's important that we move forward with this company. I know the big thing is, how much money is this going to make the telephone service? I've talked to a couple of you guys already. You know, the SEC is they put some requirements on the phone service. For instance, they put out a memorandum that several months ago that inmate telephone service would go 7 cents a minute for prisons and 14 cents a minute for county jail. Well, there was counties that complained that, you know what, we can't afford to pay our own phone bills if you do that to us. So they've amended that and put a hold on it for now. They're trying to come up with a funding mechanism that, because there were some of these jails and prisons that were charging like $5 a minute. You know, and you had grandmas who were having $500 to $600 phone bills for the month and talking with their children. So they're trying to make it fair for everybody across the board, and they're trying to keep us from making any money on it. I'm okay with that. Problem with that is that Texas Commission says that I have to provide them with phone service, right? We have a very limited facility for visitation. So the nice thing about having phone service is we also have video service where they can video visit with their families. And their families don't have to drive to Coryell County to come and do it for those who don't live here. And the ones who do live here, they don't want to come to the jail just because they don't want to be seen. And I care. So we're providing some services with this new telephone service that we don't currently have. One of them is going to be a tablet. We're going to be putting tablets out for all the inmates. On that tablet is going to be some programs that are going to be paid for, not by the county budget, right? Inmates pay for their own programs. I'm trying to start, you know, I implemented, me and the sheriff implemented a Alcoholics Anonymous and a Narcotics Anonymous faith-based program about 7 months ago that really took off. One of the things that we're trying to do with the tablets is we want to start a GED program so these guys don't have formal education. If they decide to, they can get one. The other side to that is for them to be able to buy books to read, give them movies that they can entertain themselves with. We currently don't have a law library. Law libraries are really expensive. So what we do is we rely on Mr. Belt to allow us to access his stuff from time to time, which puts another employee on that inmate the entire time that they're doing it. Plus they're using computers, and you know, we've had issues with them breaking computers because they get mad and upset. With that, we can put that on the tablet. So every inmate will have it. We're meeting a bunch of requirements that the state says we have to do with a minimal thing that they're going to pay for out of their own pocket. So should be a small moneymaker and should not cost the budget or anything to move forward with this.
And it will consolidate that two of our biggest tickets in the jail is under one company. It will have one to make it, don't even have a whole of them.
So the action that you're asking the court today is to approve the inmate telephone video visitation service agreement with Prodigy.
Yes.
That would be first. And then the second action to be to approve the amendment to the commissary contract, which is also with Prodigy.
That's correct.
Yeah. Make a motion to approve the inmate telephone video visitation service agreement with Prodigy.
Got a motion to approve the service agreement from Commissioner Matthews. I believe Commissioner Taylor had the second on that. And again, this is item number 16. Any further discussion under item number 16? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Then going to back to item number 15.
Make a motion to amend the commissary contract.
Got a motion to approve the amendment to the commissary contract from Commissioner Matthews.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 15? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 17 is an item that was carried over from our last meeting, which is to consider contributions from the City of Oglesby, City of Evant, Oglesby ISD, and Evant ISD towards additional county law enforcement assets in their communities.
I visited with the county attorney on writing these agreements up, and I believe that we're still going to have to write some agreements up if this is done, but the funds won't need to be shifted from those taxing entities to the county. We've got some SB 22 money that county attorney says he cannot spend, so he was fine with using it to pay for those two officers. So, you know, what was the actual word? Did you interlocal? It wasn't interlocal. It was what was the agreement that we would have to establish with all the schools?
Based on mine and the sheriff's last conversation, I don't think it's going to work just exactly like me and you talked about. But I think that, yes, you are correct. I think we try to play, it will be in a local agreement with the goals for the provision of office space. And we'll work out with them any details regarding internet usage and phone usage and those kind of things in those interlocal agreements. And then subsequent to today, we'll have a discussion about the little budget stuff involving my SB 22 funds. Me and the sheriff still got to run some traps on some stuff, try to figure out how we're going to get all those cats.
Well, I would just move to take no action on this, and we'll discuss it after the budget is completed, and it can wait till the next court case. It's fine with me.
Thank
the table or no action?
Table.
Okay.
Table
so that
the next court.
So that everybody understands, Mr. Matthews' motion was to table to the next court. And Commissioner Basham, I believe you had the second. Are you good with that, the tabling of that? Okay. Any further discussion on item number 17? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 18 is to consider issuing RFQ for professional audit services. Didn't get that out to you until sometime early this morning. Mr. Belt had done a red line version of it.
Complaint except for somebody able to stay on that one day, but I fixed it on the original judge and
gotcha.
Hand wrote it on with that one. Yes, except all the red line changes. He was just talked about the changes that the audit performance period. It is December 1st, 2025, and February 28th, 2026, when we want the audit to perform. And the audit covers the financial period of FY 2025, fiscal year in September 30th, 2025.
Mr. Wood, were you good with those audit dates? He's not here. So yes, Mr. Wood is good with those audit.
And I talked to him about the changes that we need to put out there.
Okay.
We're all good.
Okay.
I'd make a motion to approve RFQ 25-03.
Got a motion to approve RFQ 25-03 from Commissioner Matthews.
Yes.
Second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 18? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Mr. Belt,
yes, sir.
We need to post notice in the newspaper of this.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
generally what we do is put it in the newspaper for usually for 2 weeks. I think we'll get that done. This one is not due back till October 21st.
Take action on the template was to, or the kind of was looking at is take action on it. The second meeting in October, which would be the 28th.
So I would hope that we run the paper twice. Some of these big audit firms will pick it up off that newspaper notice and post it on our website. Some of them have services that will find it on there. And then I also believe that we should attempt some direct solicitation. I know Mr. Wood's organization has a listserv. Auditor Association that's fairly active. I know there's some other Association of Counties and some other outfits that have some places that we can send to that might have a dispro list. I have not reached out to anyone at CITPAL to see if they've got a there's a fair chance that they have a list of vendors to direct solicit on audit services. They do, I suggest us emailing it out for all of those.
I believe they do. Are you comfortable with the 4th and the 11th? I don't know that we can get it in this.
Yeah,
so.
Website, get it out there, buddy, and get it. Okay. The newspaper, plenty of time to get it run for those 4th and the
11th.
4th and the 11th.
Yeah, 4th and 11th. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Item number 19 is to discuss and award RFP number 25-04, Managed IT Services Provider. I believe Commissioner Weddle had kind of headed this up when we originally issued that RFP.
Yes, sir. We got 11 respondents. As I mentioned earlier, it was a very detailed gone through. We asked them to present to us a couple of different options. And I've talked to the county attorney, and he also, by the way, was very instrumental in helping draft the RFP. And I don't know if we would be prepared today, or at least I don't know if I'm prepared today to make a final decision. But I think what this court could do is if we could come to a consensus of 3 or 4 that we would like for them to come in, kind of like what we did on our insurance RFP. You know, they came in, these folks would come in and give their presentations to us. Get ready, because I think they're going to be pretty long presentations. I mean, I don't think we can shortchange them. In fact, we've got a couple of them here today. We can maybe ask what their opinion is. And then set a special workshop where we would have those folks present to us. And then at that time, I think we could probably grade them a lot better. That's my recommendation.
Washington. Don't be honest, IT's not my strong suit.
A technical product manager for a large company and not an IT administrator and all, but it's been my experience the last 30 years that cheapest is not always the best on IT and technical services. So I have no dog in the hunt on this one, but to consider, certainly don't just consider the bottom three, whoever they are. But to consider that middle one and those around it or whatever, sometimes that's all I need to say.
Yeah, my consideration of that is where they were located, because some of these people are from California,
absolutely,
yeah.
New York, Nashville, Memphis. I mean, just Illinois. I mean, yeah,
California, Illinois, and New York. We had 3 out-of-state respondents.
I agree.
Out of the 11.
Within a 50-mile radius.
I'm surprised you didn't put in a lockout spec of within a certain regional proximity.
within the RFP, those respondents that are within 100 miles of Gatesville get a 5-point advantage.
Is there not an advantage for a local?
Yes, I just
absolutely.
Said that.
Absolutely.
About right
over that. Talented, competent people, businesses in.
I love the people that y'all don't use for all services. I'm not saying it's this service, I'm saying it's all services. I mean, who are y'all currently using the Rivers now?
We have no one under contract. So we are split between two different vendors. They both reside, I believe, within the city limits of Gatesville. So they have had a monopoly on this for quite some time. And really to do our due diligence for the taxpayers, because this is a pretty healthy sized contract. If not, it's a pretty healthy sized contract. It's well into six figures. And
summer zero. The transition fee was zero. I mean, I anybody can look at this. I'll tell you guys, I gave you the spreadsheet because I know how hard it was to kind of dig through. I am by no means saying that this is 100% accurate, so you need to check yourself. But what I did on the fixed fee for the year, which I think we'll probably all agree that still after looking at it, we want to go with the, or at least my opinion, we're going to want to go with the premium level plan, you know, that it is just, so we're not having to make that decision on when we call somebody out or not. So I included the highest level plan of each one of the vendors in that fixed fee year. And the ranking was only just by price to start with. Then I put there what their transaction fee would be. We had 1, 2, 3, 4 that had transition fees, and the remainder were zero transition. The hourly, as you guys probably saw too, it depends on what it is. If it's a field tech, it was one hourly price. If it's a systems engineer, it was another price. So I basically tried to put what the field tech, you know, price would be, because that's the one that we would have come out most often. And then if they charge a trip charge, which was another big thing. And believe it or not, the best I could determine in all of the running, there was only one company that was going to charge a trip charge. And then the last one, I included who all was within the 100-mile range. And we had two that were just outside it, one that was at 111 miles, and one that was at 145 miles. We can also put out there, for the second one, Golden 5, they are not located within 100 miles. They're actually located in California. And you see the other one, no Illinois, and then New York.
Well, just to be clear, it's not unusual, even our local IT companies service other states.
Right.
So it's not unusual for things to be.
Yeah, in fact, one of the outside said that they would actually hire a local person, put them in the community. That's kind of what, as I should say, it was a lot. and it's
Why would you want to keep our tax dollars in our, at least in our own state, in our own job? In the county, you're providing for a family that's paying the taxes within the county.
I can tell you my top three recommendations would all meet every single one of those criteria.
Okay.
We have one outlier that's, you said don't take the cheapest. they're located in Bryan College Station. I looked through their thing and, it's like, wow, they were considerably cheaper, than everybody else. And I'm never here to tell anybody how much profit they can make in their own business or how much little they're willing to make. All that really matters to me is what kind of service level, you know, is the county going to get. Of course, then that would determine on the contract that we, you know, would eventually write, you know, with this individual. And I get accused of over-explaining, but so if we do it this way and we have those companies come in, make presentations, then at that time, we would grade those folks, whoever ended up number one, then that would allow us to enter into contract negotiations with that person. It's not necessarily saying that they got the business. They have to still give us a contract, you know, that is, you know, adequate. If those negotiations fall through, then you go to the second one. Then you start your negotiations with that second one.
Yeah, a quick question. I'm very unfamiliar with the Gorilla County structure. There's no IT department or even person. Why not? Or is it just, but I haven't needed one, or why not even consider that?
Right. And this is not a smart ass answer. Trying to keep taxes down. IT people are very, you know, to hire an IT engineer would be extraordinarily expensive.
So it would be more expensive. So I would just,
oh, yeah,
the price there.
In the scheme of things, because you couldn't just get away with that, and I'll make a joke, the propeller head, you'd have to have somebody then underneath that to go around and do all of this. So no, it's
but then right now you don't have either.
Correct.
So somebody had mentioned this, you have some temporary IT, that's just a local company, like they can, you know, set up a Zoom call.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah, it's more break fix. And small projects. And most of these, once you go under contract, which is what we don't have now, we would have a dedicated help desk. We would have, you know, so many other resources that our folks can then, you know, email them a problem. I have a problem with my printer. And of course, they can get on. And most of the time, to your point, you know, that portion of it can be handled anywhere in the world, really. But the occasional, and every one of them has in there usually one, two, three, four tiers of service level where they will escalate. And we have unique, you know, situation in our, unlike many other businesses, we have a sheriff's office. 24/7, 365 days, 7 days a week. Thank you very much, guys.
And do they have an IT?
No. They have a person within their department. And by the way, Mr. Brandon Belt has also been kind of our, you know, ad hoc, you know, IT. And, you know, the judge said, you know, I've heard him many times say, I need somebody to leave. And so I said, we have to do something. Now, the beautiful thing is, at the end of the day, I believe every, at least the top, you know, five fully fit within our current budget. Because we've had to budget, in fact, I believe it'll eventually save us some money. Once we get through this period, they're gonna, you know, whoever we choose is gonna start making some, you know, sound recommendations to us. And I think we'll be able to cut some of that expense out. Yes.
Billing offices at Bryan College Station. We actually have an office at Rockdale and in Camden.
So. Okay. Yeah, and I think it's fair enough. I mean, you guys might as well identify yourselves because I think we have three folks here. Yeah,
I'm Edward Gorey with McLean Intelligence Solutions.
Out of Temple.
Hey, good afternoon, Commissioners and citizens. I'm Sam Goldsmith. We're based Dallas, Austin. We have a person in Waco that would be closest to y'all, as well as West Texas and in county government for 21 years. Thank you.
James Cooper, Stratmon Group. You know, I've called on Coryell County for 25 years. We built one first website when Roger got here, but they had, and love to do business in Coryell County. It's very hometown, like you said. You got to really protect hometown. So I live in Waco. We got offices in Cameron, Rockdale, and Bryan College Station. So.
I'm never
still here, even after
I will never profess to be an IT guru. So I reached out to a couple of different agencies and delivered those RFP responses. The two agencies I reached out to were not involved with the RFP process, so there was no conflict of interest whatsoever. And I did get a response from one of them. Should have printed out more of these sheets. I'll get these to you. But basically, I was provided a summary of what this one vendor thought was the kind of the top three. This has nothing to do with my opinion, but I'll read it off to you. It said the best overall value that this vendor rated Stratmont Group as the best overall value in the matrix that was provided to me. And I'll give you copies of this. Has a scoring based off of the scope as defined in their response, the service level agreement as defined in their response, their security protocols, pricing, and then local was factored in there. The runner-up identified was McLean Intelligence Solutions. And then one that they identified is just kind of a best local fit. And again, there's some narrative there that I'll provide you. I'm not reading all through it. Was Iron Access Consulting. I am in no position to argue with what I feel like is a very strong supportive case for the ranking system. And they did rank all 11 of the respondents. So I'll get that to you so you've got that to assess. But I do believe I concur with Commissioner Weddle's assessment that I believe we should select 3 to 4 and schedule a date for in-person interviews so that maybe we can ask some more direct questions, some one-on-ones based specifically off of their individual responses and their understanding of what our needs are.
Which do you pick one?
Well, probably three.
I picked 4.
I pay 3.
We had fees ranging from 131,964 to
522. Who's going to be responsible to be reaching out to these people?
I would volunteer to do that since I started this thing and I've got a relationship with
Thank you.
Yeah, I kind of held the kickoff meeting where they went around and toured all our facilities. You know, this was a process. So they came in, we toured all the facilities.
Thank you.
A lot of questions. I mean, we were fielding, you know, part of the process is there's a lot of questions. They can send them in, and then we have like a chat room, if you will, where all those questions are then answered. Because you have to be fair, because one person asks a question, everybody should know the answer to that. So that was the process that we've gone through.
Oh, that's not good. So if he's dumb, I mean,
no, I mean,
who are you? The locals. When you say local, what do you mean? In Coryell County? Coryell County that I would say their corporate office, the best I can determine, is FA Tech and Iron Access Consulting.
Where based Macho is, ma'am?
Will they get it?
I believe the question that you asked, and I'm going to answer the question that I believe that you asked. You asked, is the local Coryell County guaranteed an interview? Answer is that is no. If they were guaranteed an interview, that would violate our own purchasing policies, and that would also get us in trouble with the state and federal governments. So I'm answering the question you asked. You're welcome.
And then when anybody's evaluating, if you're going out for any business, you know, if you're going to have a plumbing job done, you know, you go out and you get three contractors, you know, and then you have to evaluate those. And even if somebody is the greatest person in the world, if they're $1,000 more, you have to make a decision. And so that's also the decision we have to make, is the disparity between, you know, some of those can be as great as $100,000. And in a budget, you know, when we're trying to squeeze every little, you know, blood out of the turnip, you know, $100,000 is a lot of money to make up for that benefit. But that's why, in this RFP, that's why we gave the locals or anybody within 100 miles that five points to hopefully give them a little bit of that. But it still comes down to, price.
I'm in the service business. I'm not the tech business, but I'm in the service.
I've used you before, by the way. And it's still running.
And I know from my business, in the way that we run our business, I can bid against other people and be half the cost because I'm small. I don't have a lot of overhead. I have a small amount of employees. We're very efficient. We work really hard and really fast. And I have history and years of experience to back that up. Why? Not in just tech and everything. So I'm going to use me as an example. But why wouldn't you call me and say, Frosty, there's something on the website. Go bid it. You're from Gatesville. Let's leave our money local. And that's on everything, not just tech. I mean, I know we're talking about tech.
Right.
You know, we're talking about, and I'm pushing that you guys really need to consider the people that live within your own county, because it's their money too. That's where I'm coming at. And just like, you know, with Bash and the air conditioners, that's an insane amount. $300,000 for nine air conditioners?
And air handlers. They're not air conditioners. Air handlers. I mean, they're not.
They're massive.
No, they're inside.
That's insane.
As cheap as Corey got.
That's insane. But did you get people from Coryell County? I mean, no. You just pick up the phone and say, hey, we know you're in this.
Don't y'all come bid that.
Bid it. Not to disuse me. You locals, period, across the board. For your tech, for your air conditioning, for your plumbing, for everything. And you have just as many good contractors in Gatesville as you do in Copper's Cove. That's a whole different market that y'all probably haven't even thought about or tech.
Okay, we're getting a little bit off from the RFP for managed IT, and I understand your passion, Ms. Moogie. I really do.
I've got my four.
Do you have your four ranked in any particular order?
I don't. I can, but
it would help if we put some type of scoring to it. So a one would be a one, a two would be a two, and then the lowest scores would be the ones that we would, and I've provided the sheet that I will go off of with me.
All right.
Scratching number three on that list.
That you scratch number three, is that the one that you're trying to talk about? Nope.
I was wondering if anybody was going to.
Okay.
Because they had a physical location, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know if they're still in business. Yeah.
Yes, very good. Okay. Thank you.
The other local guy in Gatesville is probably out of business now. So, already you don't really know.
Useless information.
Hey, Judge.
Yes, sir.
It might even be easier if you're going to keep tally or if Brandon's going to keep tally. Yeah, we could even use just ranking these numbers over here to identify. Well, I don't care. I just know who my four are.
Okay, give them to.
But we say them out loud.
Yeah, I think I can. Mr. Basham, you want to go first?
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody.
Okay, is that your one?
That's my
pick. Okay.
Lane.
This is your number two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Goldsmith.
This is your three? Okay.
Allied.
This is your four? Okay, I've got your numbers down. Commissioner Whittle?
My number one is Goldsmith.
Okay, got it.
Number two is Stratmont.
Okay, got it.
Number three is McLean.
Okay.
And number four is Epic.
Okay.
Stratmont.
That's your one?
Yep.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Goldsmith. McLean and Epic.
Commissioner Taylor?
F.A., Joe Smith, McLean, Stratmont.
I am over here working off a Big Chief tablet and fat fingers. If you give me just, you were going a little quicker than I could write. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it that way. So I got F.A., then Goldsmith. Okay.
McLean.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Stratmont.
Okay, and I had Stratmont, McLean, Allied, and F8.
Hey, you're going too fast.
Okay, I had Stratmont,
McLean,
Allied, and F8. So the responses are very clear to me that our four that we should invite for interviews would be Stratmont, McLean, Goldsmith, and F8. All of those groups were ranked in the top four by four or more of this court. And I think that would be a good day or a good group to invite for about a 1 hour presentation.
Well, question. I was going to say, I mean, we have three out of the four here. If it's okay, may I ask them what they think? How long would a presentation like that?
No more than an hour. Yeah. I think an hour is plenty.
Yes, sir. I would concur. I mean, as long as you leave it open to questions and answers for a follow-up.
If we did it all in one day, then we could do two in the morning, two in the afternoon. Yes, sir.
May I just ask or clarify or make a suggestion? It, when you're doing those, the other vendors would be excluded from the room. And I don't know if that's 4L's policy, but we've asked for that.
Okay.
That way, it's fair to everyone and first pull us to the Coriel County.
We would have it set up so that the two that would be morning would be separated by a short time period, enter into the front of the building, our front conference room. As one is presenting, the next one, whenever they arrive, we put them in the front conference room until we had cleared this room. And the interviewing vendor at that point would We would ask them to exit out of this side of the building. So there's a little bit of, you know, anonymity and you know, segregation between those. Not a perfect system, but that's what I envision in our mind. And then
I appreciate that. I know that sounds like fun, but we've been a part of this whole time.
You're correct. That does not always happen, but that is, you're spot on. That's the way it should happen, so that everyone is given a fair opportunity to present. And to the extent possible, I will remind the court that questions should be consistent with those that we're inviting to come speak with us. It would be irresponsible of me to probably try to pick a date at this point, because I know that I've got a pretty healthy schedule. So I would ask the court's indulgence that following this meeting, if you'll let me go back and look at my schedule, I can send you out a couple of dates to see what works for y'all as well. And then once we kind of get a concurrence on when we'll do that, make sure this room is good, and I'll send out those invitations to those four vendors. Is that everybody good with that?
Since this was under discussed, so there's not really any kind of motion we need to make at this time.
I don't think there's a motion that we need to take or an action that we need to take. I believe I've got
and award.
I believe I've got clear guidance from the court, and I appreciate y'all giving me some flexibility to like look at some dates, but it will be within the next 10 days.
Maybe a question they're going to ask. So how are we going to pick the order of their presentations?
Random selection.
Okay. Random selection.
I will put names in a hat, and I will draw them out.
I'll come in there and assist you.
Are you going to try to pick the days within the next 10 days, or are you going to try to schedule these within the next 10 days?
I'm going to try to schedule these in the next 10 days. I know my calendar is pretty full, so I need to find a complete full day, you know, morning and afternoon, that are available to, and that the room is not already scheduled. So,
okay. So I know I have court scheduled for days next week, because the end of next week would be 10 days or less for them.
Yeah.
So you're looking to schedule these one day next week. I know I have protective order scheduled on September 30th for a fact. I don't know what else I have scheduled next week right off the end of it, but I would obviously like to be present for these interviews because I have questions.
You know, Friday's not a great day, I mean, in anybody's schedule, but what about the 3rd? Ms. Roebuck, do I have anything pressing on the 3rd?
Yeah, because I was even looking at the 2nd. Thursday. I agree with you. Fridays are, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about also, I know they're trying to get an order, and I was a sales guy for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
I'm sorry. I just kind of said that from a selfish standpoint. I usually have less meetings, conflicts, and things like that on Friday than other days. Thursday might be open, but I think if we could just go ahead and say Friday.
You know, to keep y'all from having to do a full day, y'all can bust up in a couple of days. I'm sure it wouldn't matter to us. We're together anyway. 2 and 2, you've got half a day.
Yeah, I kind of like a full day because I can
get it done.
Yeah, well, not get it done. It's about I can think of a question. And okay. Make sure that I ask the same question, and if the day lapses, I might be like,
have you not seen the day that I've been through? You know, having to reassemble again, you know, there's, no, I joke, I shouldn't that way. No, it really, I think for the court, and I'm not going to try to speak on their behalf, but usually, like, when we can sit down and just go at it, usually just, I mean, it helps us get in that rhythm. And if we know that we can set that whole day aside, we can separate those enough that.
And give us a lunch break.
So, Judge, is it your plan to have, I know what in here, everything said, so I was looking at the amended budget that Mr. Wood just worked over based on his previous discussion, but are you planning on having some folks here that help go through this, perhaps with some IT specialty?
Like I've got somebody lined up.
The folks that we've talked to about before. Are they going to build a big present? So are you planning on trying to get them here, I guess is my question.
Yes.
Okay.
Is, I mean, I can't confirm that. I don't want to stop the process, but even in dealing with them, there would be a better chance to get them here on a Friday.
I don't care if they're not. I would love for those people to be able to be here.
Yes.
I would love for perhaps us to meet with those people ahead of time because I have questions that I probably need some help articulating. Specifically, I have questions about Poser's plan for our future. If they have a plan for changes to be made to our current IT environment, which some of them might. And I couldn't necessarily tell by looking at their proposals. I think that's probably because I didn't know enough about what I was doing when we put this RFQ RFP out. I'll just be honest, I'm afraid that we don't prepare some questions and ask them ahead of time that we may not have a good idea of where we're headed in the future, and we may not have a vendor on board that has any plans to take us to another place than what we're currently living. And I know y'all, as much as me, wants more than a help desk call to do break things. We need
a strategic partner.
Somebody to, and if they have a plan for that that looks different, or especially much different than what we've invested in up to now, I need them to explain that to me and help me understand the value of that, I guess, is what I'm getting at. I don't know how to ask all that exactly. That's how it feels.
Well, I'm not going to get off in the weeds of it, but I do believe in the IT world. Ford runs a 302, and Chevy runs a 305, and Dodge runs a 318. Why does Dodge run a 318? I don't know. I can't explain that. But there's subtle differences between kind of these two, and then you got one that just has to make it. I think there are some parallels there with vendors and their expertise and kind of what they think is going to be the best for us. So I would anticipate that there are some differences there, but I think we should do our best to articulate where we think we want to go and then get them to steer us in the right direction. I hope that that's what we're selecting a vendor to do. And if our ship is way off course, then
I already have about a dozen questions.
We have a lot of things coming up pretty quickly in reference to those being obsolete and some of our machines. A lot of machines that's warranty has expired that we have put off replacing in anticipation of everything. Need to have a warm fuzzy that whoever's on board understands what they're getting into and that the price that they give us includes or sets out a separate fee for those things moving forward and how they intend on billing for things. Like I saw one of the proposals had a reference to all of these things being the responsibility of the county presently. We're paying for those things and other things on one bill. It's managed by someone else. We don't pay that bill direct to all of those places, nor do I think we want to, since we don't have anybody
manage IT on payroll.
I think you have some valid concerns. And, you know, I just can't help myself. I think all of them are in the room and they've seen what we've gone through today. No, they'd have no idea what they're getting into with, you know,
Mr. Bell, I plan on, trying to reach out to somebody. We have a couple of guys that have made it in here twice now and who just claim to have IT experience. So I would more than welcome either one of you two to contact me.
Well, I already got one of them. Yeah. So.
Oh, you already got one of them?
One of them. All right. I got another one too, but so
I think I would be forthcoming. I would be as objective as I can be, but I would have to also announce that I would be a partial due to my wife working for one of these.
Ah, okay. Very good. We have to do that in government, by the way.
So, Mr. Belt, noting your comments, there's a couple of organizations I'll reach out to see if we can get like a pre-meeting together. And I don't think it should take all of us. So if you've got specific areas that you want to have addressed, if you forward those to either myself or Commissioner Weddle, we'll get with, have a little pre-meeting so we can kind of set some left to right parameters on what we're trying to ask and be objective about it. Yes, sir.
Just a recommendation as you're kind of approaching this meeting, you have all these departments that you're kind of hoping to bring into this one umbrella of IT management. It would be worth reaching out to those department heads to find out what IT related questions, IT thoughts that they have going forward. They may have questions that may be very important to that meeting that may also be a deciding factor. They also may have very pointless questions. Both of these.
Point well taken. So I don't think I need necessarily an action, but if you'll go ahead and pencil it in on your calendars for October 3rd, and once we determine an order, I'll send the email out to those individual vendors. So they'll know what time that they're scheduled. Any major conflicts with October 3rd?
I'm good.
Fine, Jim.
I'm good.
Okay, all right.
Good.
All right.
We could share something about it too.
Yeah.
All right.
Good.
Okay, we need to.
Okay, which brings us to item number 19. Let me grab my sheet for them. Start talking. No, I'm sorry. Item number 20. I just completed item the right thing. Item number 20 is to pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $1,689,043.29. Got a motion to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 20? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Mr. Wood.
I think I captured court's reductions within the budget. I have a couple more questions to get before I go to kill a bunch of trees.
Okay.
Is there a tax rate that the courts have changed? Amended budget. I mean, my reductions, what I calculated was $109,250. Which is 0.2347.
What was it again?
$109,250. Of course, that would also be the transfer between funds. Accomplish that reduction. I just don't want to print out a bunch of copies, create more waste.
Very roughly, that is 0.25 cents. Which, if you're talking about what does that translate to the bottom line of Fund 10, because that's really our taxing fund, the bottom line of Fund 10, what would that do to that reserve? And the simple answer is nothing. It would not make a percentage difference, a fraction of a percent, but it would not change that fund balance in any discernible amount. So because at the 472, we're at 22.167 was what the amended was. I would be surprised if that number might change to 22.2. And that's just a, that's really, that's what you're looking at.
Yeah.
So I do not think that, I would be in favor of just leaving the amended proposed rate of 0.4752.
What? Thank you.
I'm sorry. In the discussion of the reductions that we went through, there would not be a discernible amount of tax savings. I mean, it is literally 0.25 cents is what we would save. So you're instead of just hypothetically, instead of it being 0.4752, the number would be 0.4751. That's all the difference that adjustment would make. So that being said, since we have put a rate out there that supports the budget that we had gone through, and there's really no tax savings, I would recommend that we remain at 0.4752. And we're certainly not going to vote on that, but if somebody needs to give Mr. Wood any more guidance than that, so that he can, we need to get that down now. Mr. Wood, hearing no dissenting or other opinions, if you would move forward with the 0.4752 as the working tax rate.
Yes, sir. Would you still like to make a transfer from 7 to 10, the savings that we had on reducing the air handler project for next fiscal year?
It's not gonna reflect anything. I think it. That's a push for FY 2027.
Right back.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Probably should have asked him how long he needed. I tell you what, let's take an 8-minute recess. I've got 4:12. Let's take an 8-minute recess, and we will reconvene in open court and at 4:20.
Yes. I started to pull out the get lunch Caesar, what is he?
Okay, I've got 5:29. We'll reconvene this regular meeting of the Corey Hill County Commissioners Court in open session at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. Picking up with item number 25 on the agenda, which is to consider listing real property for sale located at 115 South 7th Street and 113 South 7th Street.
Make a motion to approve the listing for the 7th Street, the two 7th Street locations.
We've got a motion. Do you want to value?
175.
Okay. We have a motion to list 115 and 113 South 7th Street at $175,000 each for those two properties. Motion is Commissioner Matthews, and I kind of got a stereo over here. The second was Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 25?
Is there a plan?
Rainy, we're going to make a plan.
So we're listing it before we have a plan?
We'll be.
We got a plan, sort of. We're planning to come up with a plan. Okay. We got a motion to second on the floor. Sell both properties, 175 each. We'll get with Ms. Lunsman, make sure she's good with that under our contract. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 26 on the agenda is to consider the appointment of a constable for Precinct 4 to fill an unexpired term. As I had previously expressed to the court, we had received a letter of resignation from Constable Brock, effective the first of this month. And I believe we've had the opportunity to discuss some potential some potential replacements for Mr. Brock, Constable Brock. And with that, I would open up and entertain a motion or discussion on replacements for Constable for Precinct 4.
Make a motion to appoint Johnny Barks as a Constable for Precinct 4.
I'll second that.
We got a motion to appoint Johnny Barks as Constable for Precinct 4. From Commissioner Basham, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 26? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. That concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned. Thank you.
Constable.